Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. So all the way from Arizona, I have with me Elaine Glass. So with over 30 years experience and having touched the lives of more than 40,000 patients and countless coaching clients, Elaine has unveiled a powerful approach to living called the Get Quiet Way. And I found that really fascinating when I first read it. And I thought, I have to have Elaine on and have a conversation with her. So it's inspired by a classical seven circuit labyrinth. Yeah, I bet you're with me. You want to know more about that, hey? It's a transformative method to reclaim your health, creativity, and spiritual connection in a world that often tries to diminish these essential qualities. Elaine is a certified master life coach, inspiring author, and sought-after private retreat leader. She's graduated from Northwestern University and is a proud mum of two adult sons. Oh, I've got two adult sons too, Ellen. She calls Paradise Valley, Arizona home and lives across the street from her beloved labyrinth. Elaine's new book, Get Quiet, Seven Simple Paths to the Truth of Who You Are, is published by Hay House and the leading name in personal development publishing. Welcome.
Thank you, Janine. It's really a thrill to be here with you today.
I am really interested in the Get Quiet Way. That tell me about you and what that is and what that means. I'll leave it to you.
Well, it's a great question because I really didn't know what it meant for a very long time. I really had to live into it. Because after sitting, as you said, with over 40,000 patients as a dental hygienist in my 20s and 30s, a friend of mine said, "What did you learn, Elaine, from all of those patients? Listening to them, seeing their health histories, knowing their mental, emotional health, knowing their physical health, all the medications they were on. What did you learn?" And the only thing I could say to that was, I just want people to get quiet.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
I didn't know what it meant at the time. I really, because I knew my life had gotten loud. I had just gone through a very, very, very difficult divorce. I found myself a single mom almost overnight, two small children in tow at the time. And I was overwhelmed. I was completely afraid. I felt lost. I felt like I had totally disconnected from really who I was because of the difficult marriage that I had been in for almost 15 years. So it was like, how am I going to get my life back? How am I going to get my health back? How am I going to help my kids through this? Am I going to be okay? Are we going to be okay? And so I went on this journey to find out how to help myself and my kids. That was just my whole focus. And I wrote every day. I've always written in a diary as a little girl. Now, as an adult, I always wrote in a journal because writing always helped me process my life, getting it out of me onto a page. And after a few years, well, more than a few years, actually, it was more like a decade of doing certain things to get my life back on track, because we all fall off the path and we kind of get lost and find like certain ways that we get back on the path. And so I said to my husband at the time, I said, well, I'm remarried. So my current husband, I said, I think I might have a book in me. Because I have really found a unique approach to getting healthy, happy, and feeling whole again. And I'd always been a writer. I'd always wanted to become an author, but who was I? It was a very limiting belief at the time. Who was I to do that? Only famous people got book deals or, and so, but this was such a calling. This was so true for me that it had helped me so much. And then I was coaching women on the same practices and saw their transformation. And I just had to get it down in a book form. And over 2 years it took, but I finally got the book deal with Hay House, which was my dream.
That's quite incredible to get a book deal and have a publisher like a Hay House to sponsor and promote and to support and to recognize what you've got is of value to other people.
It was interesting, and it was shocking to me. It was shocking. Like the human part of me was shocked, but my soul was not shocked at all. It was no surprise at all because our soul knows our true path, our truth. And what was interesting in the synchronicity about it is when I sat with all those patients one-on-one, I always wanted to connect the mental, emotional with the physical. I always thought that was fascinating. Like, the belief that our thoughts can create disease or illness. What were those connections? And so I had Louise Hayes's book in my operatory for over 20 years, the book that You Can Heal Your Life. And every time a patient would come in or a coaching client would come in and they would tell me a physical ailment, I went straight to the book and I looked it up. What does this mean? What does that mean? What if they have knee pain? Even with my kids, after like a sporting injury, they'd hurt their finger or whatever. And I'd be like, oh, the book says, this. And they'd be like, oh, come on, mom.
It playing catching a ball.
But now it's funny because now in their mid to late 20s, they're like, what's the book say, mom? What's the book say? So I'm kind of convinced them of this concept. But going back to Hay House, like, hey, Louise Hay was in my awareness for 20 years. And here this moment came when I got the nod from her above saying, this is great. We want this work in our portfolio.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And just for anyone that doesn't know that You Can Heal Your Life, the book, I highly recommend it. It's just a, such a different way, and it's looking and with what you're doing too, it's looking within to discover what externally you are representing with an injury or dis-ease in your body. Why is that happening? So yeah, and I
Exactly.
forget all the time, Elaine, and I must refer back to it for certain points. When you sort of, and I find for me, it's when I'm pushing through things rather than just letting things happen.
And it's that force, that energetic force that really messes up what life really has for you, really in store for you, that's magical. But if you force something, there's a resistance that comes because of that. And then we wonder, like, why aren't things working out? Why am I feeling so burnt out and overwhelmed? This feeling of burnout, particularly for women in midlife, to me, I define burnout not just that you're doing a million things and being forceful through it all, but it's doing things that are not in alignment to you and really what your true purpose is. That is why I feel that I got burnt out. This is why I feel the women that I support get burnt out. They're not in their true alignment. That when you're in your beautiful flow of podcasting and supporting, women and clients, it's effortless. The energy it takes, yes, of course it takes energy. Of course there's some stress involved, but when you are in such an alignment, and alignment again, the relationship is interesting to alignment. Alignment to me is being in right relationship with.
Okay. I have never not heard it described like that before, but that is exactly what it is, being in the right relationship with what, with yourself, with the world, with the universe, whatever that might look like for you.
With what you say yes to. I think that.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to say, I know, and you're probably exactly the same. And I know a lot of coaches who do this, or trainers. When I've spent a day coaching or training, I'm energized as opposed to drained. Whereas I know other people, they'll be doing that or presenting, and they'll be absolutely exhausted from it. And I'm thinking, no, I'm the opposite. I'm really hyped up because I've been doing what I absolutely love, and I find that it just flows as well, because it's once experienced them, and that makes it easier when you've got the knowledge and the capacity and the confidence to do it. But it all is in that framework, because that's just who I am. I have to do it. And that's what you're saying. It's exactly the same thing, is finding that for
That's right.
everyone, isn't it?
It's absolutely right. And we get to a point, particularly like I said, in midlife, where we have dealt with loss, grief, disappointment. Our kids maybe have gone off and started their own, life and families. And so we're kind of in this gap of like, who am I? We've been nurturing everyone else. Now it's time to point all of that back inward to us. And I recommend to people taking a year. I know it sounds like a lot, or just take a month for a baby step and do something that you've never done before. So, for instance, you'll appreciate this being a coach, a speaker coach. The very first time I wanted to re-engage in life after my divorce, because it really is a new engage, the way you engage after a loss, you feel very vulnerable. It's a very vulnerable space to be in. But I just went for it big time. The very first thing I did, I remember it being January, and I took a class at Toastmasters.
Okay.
You familiar with Toastmasters?
Yes, I'm involved in a very similar group here that started in America as Toast Mistress Clubs.
Great, great. Well,
Call that
I
now,
was
but
all
it's yeah, it's what it was started as.
I was always afraid of public speaking. I never felt I had a voice, particularly in my marriage at the time. I just felt like I didn't have a voice, and I didn't even know what I would even speak about. And so that was the very first thing I did to re-engage in life again after loss. And going back to the point of like, what creates flow for you? What creates ease for you in whatever you do, whether it's your business, your personal life? And through the year, every month I did something different, a little out of my comfort zone. And by the end of the year, Janine, I had a new business. I dropped my dental hygiene instruments. I became a life coach. I got a website up. I started seeing clients. I met at the time my fiance, now my husband, and my whole life changed. And everything that I chose to do that was very different than what I had been doing, led me to where I am now. But it was only because I just stepped a little bit outside my comfort zone. I tuned in and I said, what am I curious about? And I followed that and I trusted that. And it also brought me to what I write about in Get Quiet, is the day that I found the labyrinth.
I'm keen to know more about the labyrinth, but I'll go back to that stepping out of your comfort zone. And that's often something I talk about for people all the time, is to just every day just do something that you might not have been comfortable with. Say hi to somebody in the street if that's not your personality. Do something that sort of expands that. Everything then feels a lot more comfortable doing it. And I love that you've said that, each month you took on something different. And then after a year, that the whole life is changed. I've often refer back to the movie The Yes Man with Carrie, what's his name? The comedian,
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey. Now, I'm not a fan of him as a an actor because he tends to go a bit over the top. But he was having these a terrible life. Everything was going wrong. And he went along to to see a guru, and it was just about saying yes to everything. So he said yes to everything. And, you know, with those movies, he ends up in trouble, but he learned to fly a plane, speak Korean, play guitar, got a new girlfriend, got a promotion. You know, all of these things had opportunity. And that's what you had done for yourself, is you opened doors to provide and to bring in opportunities, which often people forget when they're just living day in, day out, and not realizing that there's opportunity to create something different because of doing something different. But doing something different is not easy.
No, it's not. But when you realize the person that you've become because of that, it supersedes anything. Like the person that I had become, the women that I help who transform their own lives, always say to me, it's the personal transformation, it's who I've become, than the things that I get to sell or make money from, or, you know, anything external is irrelevant, because really it's this self-love that you begin to have again for yourself, for the person that you've become, that's new. And why not give yourself permission in this lifetime to have as many identities as you possibly can? I mean, I'm all for that. Like, I'm a mom. I was a dental hygienist. Now I'm an author. Then I was a coach. Like, what else is going to be next? Like, I'm just getting started, and it's really exciting. But I'm not going to say it hasn't been really, really scary too. And that's when I really go back to this listening to your soul's voice. And my main, if you want to say brand voice, my brand message is listening to your soul's voice and getting that guidance and having that guide your life.
And when we get busy, busy in activity and busy in our heads, we don't hear it. We're just so busy doing. That's such an important factor to take the time to listen, and doing different things, stepping out of your comfort zone, and being quiet as an option. And you've got a whole list we'll go through in a moment. That they're all ways to do that. I know it's not easy for people who are busy, that don't know they can do it. That's what I find. A lot of people don't know that there's an option, or there's a difference, or a different way to think, or a different way to interact with the world. And I love it when people become aware of that.
I love it when people become aware of that option too.
Yeah.
It is the most rebellious thing we can be doing right now.
Yeah, definitely. And particularly, as you said, as women, we hit a certain age, you know, do we just keep doing what we've always done? Or, you know, as you said, when your son's left home, and there's different things. I've worked with a lot of people who have lost jobs at that time as well, and or been in situations where the job, it doesn't satisfy them, or there's been issues of bullying and things like that. So they've had to really big changes in their life, gone through divorces, and they don't, they're open, I'm going to say they're open to change, but they're not sure they're open to change. There's just so much coming at them that they have to change. There has to be, you know, I don't know whether you've heard it in any of the podcasts you've listened to, is that, you know, we're hit with a feather or a brick or a bus, and we pay attention to the feather instead. But often there's so much coming at people that there reaches a time where you've got to go, okay, something's got to change. And that's where what you do is so important.
I love that analogy. And of course, unfortunately, we tend to change when we've been hit by the bus.
Yeah.
And when you learn that tough lesson once, you really want to prevent that from ever happening again. And the method that I teach and the lifestyle that I offer to people is just that. It's prevention. It's how can I be in control a little bit more, and not like always needing to be in control in terms of perfectionism. But there are things that we can do in our life where we can have some control that helps us along the way. When I talk about the Get Quiet Way, it's a lot of people think, oh, she's just asking me to sit in a room and be quiet. Of course, that's not what it is. It's a whole method of seven paths that I offer to people to ponder, to become aware of, so that you can get control back in your life where there could be overwhelm, chaos of any major transition you might be going through. You know, the very first thing that I did to gain control back of my life was I started to nurture my body.
That's such an important fact. Because if we're constantly on the move, then we don't tend to do that, do we?
And this was no longer like running marathons or, you know, lifting weights. I'm not saying that those things aren't healthy, but for me, it was the slowing down, this nurturing, and not this forceful pounding of my body. Being an investigator of, okay, I was just diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. Why did that happen? What's the root cause of that happening? What was the mental, emotional that caused that physical ailment? And how can I heal in the most natural, holistic way?
Yes.
This is a nurturing, very feminine way to start getting control back of your life.
And we often think then that there's the have to's. Well, if I'm going to do that, as you said, I have to start running, or I have to hit the gym, or I have to whatever it might be, or I have to cut back to 1200 kilojoules a day, or whatever it is, I have to do this. And then that puts pressure on, doesn't it? And it's not what you're talking about. It's
not, because nobody told me to go for a gentle swim. And I don't mean doing laps. Like, I started to dance in a pool. I started to just move my body, you know, because during difficult times, literally our energy gets stuck in our bodies. And so I needed to unstick what was stuck for anything new to flow through me that was healthy. And so I just started dancing and moving my body in a pool. I started doing Pilates, which reminded me of when I was a kid, I was a gymnast. Like, I just went back to my roots where I felt like, how can I feel safe in my body again? Because I had endured 15 years of basically an abusive relationship, verbally abusive relationship. My nervous system was in fight or flight. It was in freeze mode. Like, how do I get myself back to feeling safe in my body again? And that's what the first path was all about for me.
Yeah, brilliant. And listening, again, listening to what the soul needs. Now, the labyrinth. And you said you live across the road from the labyrinth as well?
Yeah. So have you ever walked a labyrinth before?
Is it like a maze?
It looks like a maze, but it's not actually. It's a 4,000 year old ancient meditative tool. Let's say it's a formation in the ground, so it looks like a bunch of circles that would confuse you, but it's actually one way in and one way out. It's never there to confuse you. It's there. Basically, for a meditative practice, to get quiet, to be in nature. Most of the time, these things are in outside in nature. Private retreat centers or churches or hospitals or schools. But let me tell you, the amount of people that are building them on their own private properties now,
Oh, wow.
it's just exploding. It's exploding. Because Janine, what they are, it's a place for you to get quiet, to connect to yourself when you are needing answers. And I mean, when you're really desperate for answers, as sometimes we are in life. Mm-hmm. And it's a place where you can connect to the divine source, whatever you call it, the universe, to your soul's voice, an inner connection that we lose because of the noise of the world. And I found this labyrinth at a retreat center, which is right across the street from my house. Now, at the time, I lived about 15 minutes away. And I was like, what is this? I'm just going to start walking in circles. And here I am in Arizona, walking in circles in the desert, thinking I've totally lost my mind now. But I was really desperate to try anything that would bring peace to my life in quite a chaotic time. And the very first time I circled the paths, it was like there was a voice on my shoulder, and I heard very clearly, surrender. And I was like, surrender? Are you kidding me? Like, if I surrender, my whole life's going to fall apart. And what was that voice anyway? Where did it come from? I mean, this was just so foreign to me. You know, I got back to my car that day. I turned on the car radio, and the announcer at the time was talking about, of all things, surrender.
I would expect that, actually, Elaine. If you didn't understand what I was trying to tell you, just now have a listen to this as well. You know, it's, we don't hear things just once. It's like sometimes the same number will pop up, or something that is impact, or somebody will mention something and you go, right, I know, I need to do that. That's fine. Thank you. I've got the message now, and take action on it. Yeah. It's a big deal though. Surrender is a very, very big deal, especially if you have come out of a situation where you're probably, and you know, this is when you're feeling vulnerable, you're often carrying a lot of shame. And if you've been in an abusive relationship, that's really hard to go, okay, so now I've got to let go as well. I'm going to surrender to everything. Yeah.
Interesting that it was the first message I heard. It's like the universe wanted me to hear that main message, which would really be like the big umbrella theme of what I was walking into and needing to do. The second message I heard, so I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I'm hearing messages, and then I'm getting synchronicities immediately confirming things. So I went back the next day, and I started to hum in the middle of the center of the labyrinth. I started to hum Michael Jackson's song, "You Are Not Alone, I Am Here With You." Started singing it out of nowhere, you know, and the sun was coming down, and I could feel the breeze, and I could hear the crunch of the gravel under my feet. And I was like, God, I feel myself again, like for the first time in so long. I got back to my car, turned on the car radio. What song do you think was playing?
Oh, you gotta love Michael Jackson, don't you?
I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You know, I got so freaked out after that second thing that happened. I didn't go back to Labyrinth until a month later, because I knew it was going to require me to change.
That's the big deal, isn't it? That those steps that it requires is sometimes we're just not ready, or we're not prepared to take those steps. We know that that's, you know, we've been given the information, we're aware that, but that can be very scary.
Very scary. But every message I heard inside that labyrinth was a loving message. Mm. It was never scary. It was always confirming. It was always loving. It was always supportive. And it was a very simple message every single time. Mm. It was like, surrender. You'll be okay. All will be okay. Like, just gradual little baby steps helping me feel safe again in the world.
Mm. Yeah, so it's not necessarily the messages were scary, but the actions that you would have to take were confronting. And yeah, okay, so what am I going to do?
And trusting, you know, it was like I came out like a wounded, like a wounded child. And here I was, the universe is asking me to trust again, trust life again, trust myself again. And it was like those gentle messages in the labyrinth helped me trust again, and helped me, like those messages guided my life. Because I had lost everything. I mean, the only thing I had, obviously was the most important thing, and that was my life and my kids' lives. Everything else I had lost.
Yeah.
So I was like, I've lost everything. I'm just going to try. I'm going to trust what I'm hearing is right. And I'm going to create an environment for myself where I can always hear and trust those and get those messages. And, now I've built that muscle, and I help other people build those muscles so that they can be anywhere in a quiet moment and hear that voice and let that guide their life. So that's really my mission.
No, that's important. And that's part of those seven steps then that's in your book, isn't it?
So that's right. Yeah.
What are the seven steps for that to reach that quiet moment?
Yeah. So when you reach that center, that's really where you're going to find that deep connection to yourself that you were disconnected to. So the first step we talked about was nurture the body. The second path, I began to see that I was cleaning and clearing out my environment. I was purging things in my closet. I had an outside storage unit that I started to clean out. I mean, I'd lost the key. I was paying every month for it, but I was like, okay, where's that key? I got to go clean that out. I was cleaning out relationships in my life. So not only things, I was cleaning out my cupboards. I was cleaning out my fridge, like what junk was in there that needed not be there. So it was this need to clean and clear out my environment. And that was a very important path. So that was the second path. The third path that I noticed I was doing was I was changing my mindset. I was really much more positive when I had been so negative for so many years. Like nothing positive could come into my life in terms of my thinking, because I was just like in such a dire place for so long. And so I was like, whoa, those thoughts are kind of moving away. Now I'm thinking much more clearly, and I'm thinking much more positively. The path after that was really what I think is probably today the most important path for me personally, and for a lot of my clients too, and that is your emotions.
In what way?
The emotions of at least being able to feel your emotions. And not being afraid of your emotions, and knowing that to feel them is to eventually transmute them, which is to eventually make them disappear so that they're not stuck in you. Because the one thing I do believe, after sitting with all those patients and all the clients in the last 15 years, is I do believe that emotions cause disease.
Yes, I'm with you, very much with you on that space as well.
Yeah,
and it tends to be where there's, I know with Louise Hayes, there's particular thoughts in a particular area, but I also believe that it's in a part of the body that, don't want to say is weakened, but it's more receptive to that disease because of the type of emotion that you're carrying.
Yeah, because we have 40 trillion cells in our body, and we can inform those cells to either be healthy or not be healthy. So if we have stuck emotions like sadness, anger, uncertainty, worry, like go through all the emotions in the wheel of emotions. And if we just keep repeating every day how angry we are at someone, how angry we are with ourselves, the shame we're carrying, the guilt we're carrying, that's informing our cells. And it seems like such a simple concept, but when you just keep repeating how angry you are at the world or your neighbor or your mother or whoever, That's affecting your body. And, you know, in midlife, you are all about longevity. How can I live healthy and vibrant, you know, for the next 50 years? Like that's really our focus, isn't it? Is how well we can live and feel good so that we can do so many things later in life. Like that's the goal. And so
and definitely that you want to age well. That's, and it is all, it's the physical component, it's the emotional component, the financial component as well. You know, there's a whole lot of things that are so important, but if you're feeling jammed up because you're not doing what you are meant to be doing or that you love to do, or you just decided that you hate what you're doing, you know, it might have been all right 5 minutes ago, but now it's not, then we're going to create blockages in our body. It's just a given.
100%. And two things I want to offer your community is, one, I have a 6-minute visualization, which helps the mind visualize a healthy state of being, that I would just recommend the download of that. It's a free download on my website, elaineglass.com. The other thing on my website is I have gone really deep into energy work, because I really do feel like that is what deeply, deeply heals us, is energy work. And so I have a whole modality called the Nemus Code, and it's associated with these 7 energy points that I refer to in the book, which correlate with each path that we've been talking about. And so when we walk this labyrinth, really what we're doing energetically, and I really want people to visualize this, is you are shifting the energy of your body. Because our bodies get stuck, our muscles get tight, our energetic field just gets stuck, and we need to shift things in our life to get them moving. And so if you go to my website and look up Nemus Code, you're going to see all 8 energy points. And what I would invite you to do is to memorize those 8 energy points and then use them as a visualization to shift the energy in your body. You will see results like you can't even imagine. People have healed things from years and years that the doctors couldn't even heal. So I'm so excited about offering those 2 free things.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that's definitely something that I'm going to visit myself and check that out, Elaine, because that's so important. That's not the same as the chakras.
No, it's completely different. And what okay, so this is going to start sounding a little woo-woo, and I'm
oh,
so
woo-woo
completely...
is good. I do woo-woo. So
yeah. I never did woo-woo because, you know, I'm like a science, you know, person. And then when I started walking this labyrinth and started to hear the guidance of life, I get to the center one day and I literally download these 8 energy points.
Brilliant.
They come streaming through me. And it was actually the thing that got the book deal solidified with Hay House. Was they're like, you know, we like your proposal, we like what you're talking about, the labyrinth, but like there needs to be a little bit more. And I didn't know what that more was. And I was kind of disappointed. I was on my second proposal, sending it to them. And then these 8 energy points came, and I emailed the editor and I said, okay, I think I might have something else. It might be a little far-fetched. I'm not sure if this is going to be okay to add. And she's like, she heard what I was, you know, saying. She's like, oh my God, that's perfect. That's exactly what the book needs. And so it was like, I had to trust, even though I was kind of embarrassed, like thinking, well, I don't even know what this is, but, this has healed people, in ways that it's the most exciting thing that I'm actually doing right now, is to guide people through the Nemus Code, because it shifts our energy from being unstuck from being stuck to totally flowing freely, and being able to download your own innovative ideas, your own creative, you know, juices start to flow. And that's exciting. That's so exciting.
And that will help. Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. And as I said, I'm going to jump on and have a look at that too when we're finished. But that is also, if they can, if people can sort of download that for themselves, then it's going to help them free up their options. You know, that looking at going, okay, maybe I can do that.
Oh my gosh, the possibilities are, it's limitless. You're just limitless. Why you're here on this planet in this lifetime right now is for a purpose. It's for a very big purpose. And I didn't get that years ago. I just thought, oh, I'm a dental hygienist. I'm a single mom, and I have all these, you know, things that are limiting beliefs of this is what I'm going to be for the rest of my life. And then I started to really open up and open my heart up and open my mind up and open my intuition up. And I was like, oh no, I'm here for this grand reason. And we're all here for this grand reason. But, you know, we are so distracted and so full of noise and so, you know, our bodies have become, you know, let's say even toxic in a way from what we're ingesting. And it's like, we've got to free ourselves up so that we can bring these gifts, these treasures that our soul knows we're here for, to not only benefit for our own life, but to share with the world. And it's possible for everyone because it's our birthright, simply. It's our birthright.
And then, you know, it depends on people's beliefs then as well, you know, that we're spirit having a human experience at this moment in time. And then what was the choice of our spirit to say, I'm going to come to and have a human experience? What am I going to do? Why am I here? There's a purpose behind it, absolute purpose behind it. And then maybe we need to experience it a few times before we figure out what that purpose might be as well. And yeah, no, I'm very much on the same page with you regard with that, because it is. And look, I've known all the way through. At 15-year-old, I thought, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a school teacher. And then I started looking at the subjects and went, home economics, that was a big deal then. They don't even have it now, I don't think. And I then got, because very different in Australia, especially in the 70s, I got a job at 15 and went, well, not going back. That's it. I got paid $37 a week. It was mind-blowing. So I continued working. But I taught aerobics for 10 years. I do what I do with my teaching, the podcast, everything I do but all those experiences beforehand, I needed that. If I had a stuck at being a school teacher, then I would have not experienced life in a more adult way, if you get what I mean. It would have just been a more closeted sort of experience in teaching, as opposed to what I have done for the last 40 years. It all gets you here. You know, experiences that you have are for you to enable you to be able to feel and see what you do. So, yes, and as I said earlier, when I'm in the teaching space, or this is teaching as well, getting amazing people like you to have that I'm having conversations with, it's lessons for the people listening. So it's, yeah, I just feel like I'm in my space. And we mentioned, well, we had a bit of conversation beforehand, I'll be traveling for quite a long time next year. And I know I have to do some teaching while I'm away. I know I have to do something. I can't just sit around campfires and talk about price of chicken. I can't do that. I have to. There'll have to be something. I've yet to figure out exactly how that's going to look, Elaine, but there will be something, because it's just who I am. I can't not do it.
It's just who you are. It's just, and you've said yes to this your whole life, and you've given yourself permission to do this in so many different arenas. And when we say no or resist our soul's calling, our body complains.
Yeah.
Our bodies just simply complain. And so this is about knowing who you are, knowing the truth of who you are, giving yourself space to tune in and say, like, you know, you're a teacher.
Yeah.
And be open to, you know, whatever that looks like. And I'm so excited for you next year, because who knows what you're going to be teaching, where you're going to be teaching, who will be your students. It's so exciting. It's really so exciting. And it's really how we get back. We were talking about the flow and the ease of life. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be, you know, and financially, when you are in that flow and that ease of knowing who you are, giving yourself permission and freedom to explore that part of you even deeper, the money just comes. It just comes.
And that's trusting that as well, that you are on the right path and that is exactly what's going to happen. It's interesting you say, you know, and just reflecting on myself, because I'm a control person. I like to be in control. And thinking about, okay, so what am I going to do next year? How am I going to do this? What am I going to set up beforehand? What's going to happen? And so a lot of that has to be done. But while I'm on the road, I'm now thinking, I'll just let it go. I'll just see what pops up on the way rather than trying to push that. That just felt, as soon as you said that, I just went, let that part of it go, Janine. Have everything else that you're doing set up, but let that part of what's that going to look like for me on the road. Thank you. Yeah, that's good. That feels good. Very, very good. So, and again, that just feels like there's a weight gone as well. I remember years ago, a friend of mine had awful shoulder pain and we were having a barbecue, and I said, so what are you carrying? And she burst into tears and she didn't say much more, but ended up going through a divorce a short time later and moving into something that she was loving doing, and caught up with her, and she said she doesn't have the shoulder pain anymore. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so important. We always finish with three takeaways, Elaine. What do you want out of everything that we've talked about? What do you want people to take away?
Go to labyrinthlocator.org and find your nearest labyrinth.
I was going to do that to see where there are any around here. I know I've walked in little labyrinths, but not a big ones.
Yeah. You know, see what comes up, listen to the messages. Number two, trust what you hear, and even report back to Janine and let her know what you heard.
That would be great. Especially if a Michael Jackson song pops up.
And no one is guaranteed tomorrow. So live your healthiest, best life right now. Don't be worried about the past. Don't look too far down the bend in the future. Be as present as you can, because life will just go by and feel like there's no meaning. So there's really only now in the present moment. And I would really say to enjoy every bleeping moment you can.
Yeah, I think that, and we forget to do that. I'm a yes person, so I tend to go, oh, that looks fun, let's go do that. And then I figure out which of my friends or my husband or whoever would be interested in doing that, you know, and go do that. And people say, I don't know how you fit everything in. I go, well, I do things I really love to do, so it's not fitting. It's just enjoying. And that's a different space, isn't it? You know, you're not trying to squeeze things in if you're doing things you love. You're just enjoying it. And that's part of being in that moment and also, you know, living that best life. I've enjoyed our conversation so much. It's been so much fun. Tell us again about where people can get that 6-minute visualization and the Nemis code from.
Yes, at my website, elaineglass.com. And you'll just share your email, simply as that, and I'll send you this 6-minute visualization. It's wonderful to just put some headphones in and right before you go to bed and listen to it. It will really be uplifting, and I also think quite healing. And the NEMIS code is there as well, and you'll see those 8 energy points that coincide with the labyrinth paths. But memorize those points in the order in which I have them on the website, and you can do this own visualization on your own. Of course, if you need support, you can reach out, but I made it so simple that you can really just tune into the body parts that I've put forth in that NEMIS code, and you'll see a shift in yourself. And you'll have new thoughts, even be dreaming things of ideas. Like, it really opens up a lot for you, and it's very, very exciting.
Oh, that sounds very exciting. And they can get your book on your website, your book Get Quiet.
Yes, they can get wherever they buy their books, Amazon, wherever they buy their books. There's links to the book on the website as well. And I actually also read the book. So if you like to listen to books, which I found that the Audible version, or if you have Spotify where you are, the book is on there as well. I read the book, and people love to listen to the book because there's actual visualizations to music that you can listen to after each chapter too. So
Oh,
that's another.
wonderful. That sounds great. And I'll have all of the information in the show notes as well. So thank you so much again for joining me today. It's been a lovely, fun conversation. We've gone down a few different paths and ended up in a little bit of woo-woo, which, and I don't know why we call it woo-woo. I think it's just part of reality. It's, yeah. Yeah, which is great. So thank you, Elaine.
It's been my pleasure, my honor. Thank you so much. I'm going to be thinking about you next year, your travels. Can't wait to hear. Can't wait to hear, Jen.
That's why I'm thinking I might even put together a roadshow as we go to different places and do something. I think that would be quite fun. That'll be good. Anyway, we let it go. Let's just flow with it. Thank you. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. So thank you so much for joining us again. Remember to subscribe if you're listening to wherever you're listening to this or watching it on YouTube. And also, if you want some information, a strategy call, some ideas, then go to JeanineVosper.com and book a complimentary strategy call. I'd love to have a conversation with you and figure out how either I or some of my fabulous talent might be able to help you achieve the results that you want in business and in life. Have a fantastic day, week, month, wherever you are in the world. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.